Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRT LP 95.7 FM in Davis, California. You can find us online anytime at kdrt.org/Davisville. I'm Bill Buchanan. I'm your host. Thank you for tuning in today. Well, today we return to the question of how to improve the supply and quality of local information and news in Davis and Yolo County. Right now, if you want to know about something happening locally, it's not entirely clear where you'll find out. We still have local newspapers, although they cover just a small fraction of what they did. And of course, there's social media with all of its problems. Plus websites, blogs, niche publications, all of it of varying quality. Flyers on bulletin boards, chalked sidewalks. You get the idea. Information is scattered like leaves in the fall. And here's how it all adds up. What important information about Yolo County and Davis aren't we finding out about? Davis Media Access, and specifically our guest today, Autumn Labbe-Renault, has been developing an idea on how to address this problem. In March 2024 on Davisville, we talked with her about an early version of the idea, which at the time had the working title Civic Information Hub. Today we're going to learn what's new with that effort, now titled Yolo Local. She's been busy. Autumn, thanks for talking with us today on Davisville.
Thanks for having me back.
Glad to do this. This is one of the reasons I do this show. I do need to lay out a few disclaimers before we begin, though, just to let the audience know where I'm coming from, which is to say first that I'm a member of the Yolo Local Working Group, which is helping to develop this project. Second, if you're listening to this show, you should know this. I produce and host Davisville for KDRT Radio, which is itself a project of Davis Media Access. And Autumn is the executive director of Davis Media Access. She's not my boss because I'm a volunteer. In fact, I get no money from anything involving DMA. I think she's laughing at the idea maybe that I would have a boss down here. Point is, I'm going to follow my usual goal today on Davisville of asking questions that I think any engaged listener might ask. But I am close to the topic, and you, the listener, deserve to know that. Anyway, that's done. Autumn, could you start by just giving us a refresher on what Yolo Local is and why people should care about it?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. When we talked in March of last year, Yolo Local, as you said, mentioned, it didn't have that name, and I describe it was kind of a thought seed, and it was born out of curiosity, my own, and speaking with folks like you and a couple of others, wondering what Davis Media Access specifically could do to address the gaps in local information and news. Since then, it became a process, and now it's a plan. And where we are right now is at the very start of the working group that you mentioned, the Yolo Local Working Group. And that means that we're going to spend the next roughly 3.5 months talking to and listening deeply all around the county at events, focus groups, through surveys. And we're really trying to gauge what those gaps are and fundamentally what people's needs are. And so far as I know, we're the only organization in all of Yolo County to say, this is important. Let's make the time and bring in enough resources to make this happen.
Yeah, so the idea is to learn more about what isn't being reported. And I don't mean that necessarily in a conspiratorial way, but part of it is just the old system is just not working like it was, the old information system. Specifically, what kinds of information? I mean, are you looking for like broad things, like people saying, hey, we've got a group that we think aren't getting covered enough? Or are you looking for specific examples of stories? Or
we're really looking at it from both the supply side and the demand side. So you mentioned some of the resources that are available. And we do have some really outstanding, there, you know, reporters at some of the local papers, and Wendy Weitzel on Substack and the Davis Dirt. I want to call them out specifically because they've really stepped up to try to fill some of those gaps. So it's understanding what's there on the supply side, but then on the demand, I don't think anyone before has ever stopped to say, what kinds of information do you actually need to be an involved member of your community? Where do you find that information? What's hard about that? And what's missing for you? And one of the things we know, I'm going to back up for a second. Through this project, we're working with a national consulting firm called Impact Architects. And what they do is they pull all the data around an information ecosystem, is how they describe it. So they've come in, they've pulled all this data about Yolo County to help us develop the survey and help us develop our methods of outreach. So one of the things we know right off the bat is that approximately 30% of residents in Yolo County identify as Latinx, Hispanic, somewhere in that realm. And approximately another 30% say that they speak a language other than English at home. And if you look around the various media we've discussed, there's very little in the way of particularly Spanish language media. The Winters Express, they're weekly, and they publish one page that is in Spanish. They tried to get rid of it a few years ago, and the community put up a big outcry about it. Beyond that, there's a newsletter out of Rise Incorporated out in rural Yolo County. And beyond that, there's nothing serving 30% of the population in Yolo County. So one of the things that's done is help us tailor our efforts to, okay, we need to get out there into events that serve the Spanish language community and to work with organizational partners to ask them to help us get out this bilingual survey. The more information we can identify about what people need will really arm us to figure out a project that will begin to help meet those needs.
How to supply it. So in other words, if you figure out that, I don't know, Spanish-speaking people in Yolo County aren't getting good information about, the county government, then you might try to find a way to meet that need.
Yeah. This is where I like to talk about the difference between civic information and journalism.
Yeah.
Where journalism is, and as a former journalist, you know, it's a very important thing to report on breaking news and to report on these sort of high-level things. But civic information is so much more than that. Again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. It's really about what do you need to be an informed member of your community. Let me give you an example. I get calls and emails here at Davis Media Access because someone can't navigate a city website or the county's website, and they're really trying to find information about a particular meeting that is important to them. No one is reporting on that level of civic information. I mean, there's some reporting still happening about Davis City Council, but some of the other communities in Yolo County, they don't even get that level of reporting about what's going on. So it's meetings. It's also, if you think about the pandemic, it's public health. Where are the clinics? How have the laws changed? Where do I now need to go to get this information? I mentioned Davis Sturt earlier. It's also arts and entertainment. What do we do to keep our spirits up and keep ourselves enlivened and sort of together in community during these challenging times? It's all of that.
Yeah, it's a tremendously complicated situation. I mean, it's almost as varied as human nature. A lot of the information that I think you're talking about probably does exist.
Mm-hmm.
County Health Office website or something like that. But you have to know how to find that, or maybe you have to have a means to get to it.
Right.
The complexity also means solving it seems pretty complex, particularly if we're talking about information and news as different categories and all the different ways that people like to find things out. Like, I admit, I am not versed on social media like I probably would be if I'd started my career later.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing a lot of this information is out there through social media. It you know, going back and forth without going through any institution at all, it's almost like person to person except amplified by social media. I think the survey that you're talking about could be really interesting if we can start to kind of try to describe that and get a sense of it, because clearly people are learning things from someplace,
right?
But it's like we don't always know where.
They're learning them from a lot of places, and I think one of the issues, you mentioned social media, so let's use that. I've been an extensive social media user for a very long time. You probably hear people talk about the algorithm. It's very hard to get through with certain kinds of content, and people aren't really seeing it. You have to be really savvy. You have to spend a lot of time on there and a lot of time searching. And that has varied over time. During the pandemic, there was a moment where social media became really hot again because we couldn't see each other in person, and it was the way we were connecting in community and sharing information, one of the primary ways. The problem is, let's use, Meta platform for an example. They're no longer fact-checking things, that statements and information that can be harmful to certain communities. So that's one big issue. And then I'll mention the Nextdoor app and platform, where there's just a lot of speculation and people kind of going off about certain topics,
mm-hmm,
on some of these platforms. So is that information or is it opinion? Opinion certainly has its place, but really what we're talking about is information. And you and I have dealt in the currency of objective, fact-based information that, you know, doesn't hold a particular bias or is welcoming of, you know, different viewpoints. And I think that's a goal, and it's a hard goal at the moment because DMA, Davis Media Access, also has a mission to lift up marginalized voices. And so there's a lot to unpack there as well.
Yeah. The complexity of this is really striking me as I listen to it. I mean, it's, I don't know that I have a clear handle on, and maybe it's partly where the process is, because you're at a discovery stage, right? You're wanting to sort of get opinions from all sorts of people about what are you not seeing that you want to see? Maybe what do you like that you don't see enough of? And then out of that are going to come some concrete ideas, I imagine.
Yeah.
And then the question will be in the end is, all right, well, what does that actually produce that someone can go to or use to find out reliable information?
Yeah.
That's the part. It's still a little opaque to me, honestly.
I think it's still a little opaque to all of us. Right now, the question I am most frequently asked is, what is this going to look like? What form is this going to take? And as you mentioned, we're in the discovery phase. That's what we want to find out, is what would be most useful to people? And given a wide range of platforms, what are the types that people would most frequently engage with and feel comfortable doing so and feel like they're, you know, getting something good from the process? Honestly, back when this idea was a thought seed, it grew out of my curiosity that here we are, we're sitting in the KDRT studio today, which is in Davis Media Access. We have a, in process of post-remodel being rebuilt, a television studio, a podcast studio, a radio studio, and we know what it's like to work with people around ever-changing technology, right? And so I started with this curiosity, wondering what that technical infrastructure and all these years of working with it and training community members could do. And I still think there's a real role and a real opportunity there, because Davis Media Access is we're the only one of our kind in the whole county. And those are assets that if you had to go and build them from scratch would be incredibly costly. They've been built up over almost 40 years. Yeah. So we have a natural starting point that a lot of places don't have. Does that mean I think it's going to be rooted in television and radio? Not necessarily. What I think is that television and radio, podcasts, those are going to be components of a larger project. I do think it's going to have some kind of web-based or text-based application, you know, for a way that people can get a quick download every day and check in. I don't know what the frequency is going to be. Yeah. You know, I'm very invested in this process, but I'm not prescient, and I am committed to listening to people.
Well, and your point, isn't it, that we will know this, just don't know it yet.
Right.
And that you'll know that partly as you go through this whole thing and figure out what people are looking for. And then you think about how do we serve that purpose?
Yeah.
I think in the end, you know, you want to arrive at something useful. One example of something that's been really useful in the old ecosystem and could and I think should exist in the new one is just this shooting that happened in Davis during Picnic Day. And Lauren Keene, who is a fine reporter, she wrote about that for the Davis Enterprise.
Yeah.
And it was posted online. It didn't actually appear in print. They just print 2 days a week now. It didn't appear in print for several days. But she wrote the day that it happened. And I thought, you know, here's an example of useful information. And now it's the reporting side. You know, to your point of a minute ago, this isn't necessarily information in that non-reporting sense. I mean, this was a news story. But I got to thinking, I was looking at social media and some of the chatter that same day. And I would see people raising questions like, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, what is this? And I thought, read Lauren's story, actually, and you'll learn a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because she knows what she's doing. She was on the scene. She was writing what she saw. She knows who to talk to. They trust her, I think. Now, crime stories still cut through a lot of the fog because people feel still, they're very drawn to it, for good and for bad. I don't know if it's ever good, but I mean, you kind of want to know what's going on in your neighborhood. Point is, that's, I think, one example of something that if Lauren wasn't still there writing, then what we would have had was a lot of opinioning. Oh, well, I heard this, or I saw that, or I, you know, this person told me this. With Lauren, you actually had something useful. And I'm interested in that whole category of things that aren't nearly as dramatic as that.
Right.
But that would be interesting to get out there. But ultimately, in the end, it has to be available to people in formats and such that they're looking for. So I'm very curious to see what this survey comes up with, you know, what it finds out.
Me too.
But I do think it's chasing something kind of in foggy conditions. And so I'm hoping we'll get some less fog.
Here's a couple of the questions I'm frequently getting. One is, are you trying to replace local news sources? No. One of the first things I did when I started getting curious about all of this is I went and I met with local reporters and editors. And I said, one of the things I've observed is that you use a lot of filler content because you don't have the capacity and the reporting staff you once had. If there were a local source of information that could provide some of that information and we could give it to you for free, would you be willing to carry it? And the answer across the board was yes, and we'd like to work with you. The other answer was, we're really struggling. You know, as you mentioned, the Davis Enterprise is down to 2 days a week. Winters has a weekly paper. West Sacramento has a weekly newsletter. It's a newsletter. And Woodland publishes a couple of days a week as well, Woodland's paper. The Davis Dirt is fantastic. I'm a big fan of what Hannah Nakano has done with that paper. But it publishes monthly. And it's a very, I've done that job of publishing a monthly community newspaper. And it's a really hard enterprise to keep going. So when I'm asked that question, it's like, no, we're trying to figure out how we can add to and not take away from what already exists and the things that work well. And your example of Lauren Keene is perfect. I was going to bring that up, and I'm glad you did. The second thing I'm asked is, are there examples of things that you're thinking about that we could look at? So I'm going to give two today. That one's in on the Central Coast. It's called Lookout, and it's in Santa Cruz. And the other is called the Oakland Side, and it's in Oakland. And if anyone wants to see examples of really what a civic information project looks like, those are some good ones. I was just looking at them yesterday. When you go to each of those sites, you see them kind of broken down. They're broken down into public health, education, a civic infrastructure, arts and entertainment, you know, all of that. That's what I mean by information. It's not the breaking news, but it's other things that are happening. And I said two things, but I'm going to add a third. And that is coverage of civic meetings. Okay, so here in Davis, as an example, the city maintains its own media services project. And so when you watch a city council meeting or a commission meeting, and not all of them are recorded, that's done through City Media Services. They also record the Davis Joint Unified School Board meetings, and that content comes over to Davis Media Access, where we air that, make it available on demand, and archive all of those. Not every community in Yolo County has those options. And then there's sort of countywide meetings as well. Okay, a lot of business and decision-making about things that happen in our communities is done through those public meetings. And the reason to air them and report on them has a lot to do with public transparency. So I think that any project we develop is probably necessarily going to have some focus on that area. And my personal bias is leaning into Davis Media Access's long history of youth media. I would love to work with high school students and community college students on helping to train kind of a next generation of community information reporters and really, you know, continue building those skills and working with the public in that way.
All right. To a quick station ID, we are talking with Autumn Labbe-Renault. She's the executive director of Davis Media Access, and we're talking about YOLO Local, which is a information and news community project that she is helping to develop. I'm Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. So you call this YOLO Local, and Davis Media Access is based in Davis, but your point really is you want to go countywide with this, right?
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that. Davis Media Access is based in Davis, and we work with many organizations around the county. We have staff 2 days a week out at Woodland Community College, helping staff their e-learning studio. We work with nonprofits on event coverage and technical support all over the county. We work with the county library system. I mean, you know, yes, Davis is in our name, but Actually, the pandemic really fundamentally changed the scope of our work. I mentioned earlier we're the only nonprofit community media center in Yolo County. And, you know, so people turned to us in droves once the pandemic hit and they needed to take events virtual. And it changed our relationships and it changed kind of the strategic trajectory of our work, who we work with and how we carry out that work.
Yeah, I think DMA helped some places connect basically with the constituents, right, digitally.
Yeah, we did. It was very handy for a really big local election where we had something like 27 candidate statements in that election season right after the pandemic hit. It was a time. We don't have a good roots in the So Yolo County is a very large county, and it's largely rural and agriculturally based. And those are areas that we're going to have to work really hard to get some information and to make some inroads in.
Yeah, well, that's part of the complexity. I mean, I say this having been a newspaper editor. It's difficult enough when you've got a fairly well-defined town to cover it because of I mean, people are wonderfully complicated, but boy, it also makes it difficult to sort of keep up with all the information that we collectively generate.
And
spread that across the county. But Davis is very different than Esparto, very different than Winters, West Sacramento.
Well, this is the beauty of the working group, and this is why we chose a working group model to do this information needs assessment. Several of the members on that working group, as you know, being a member yourself, are this working group was put together primarily not for people who were skilled in journalism, but for people who are connectors. And so for that reason, we have a lot of communication workers, public information officers from around the county on that group because they understand information and they also are very well connected all over the county.
Yeah, I mean, and I think this is an important point. Reporting is a subset of what you're talking about creating. And of course, now as any journalist will tell you, you know, all information needs to get vetted. Sometimes not in any heavy way. I mean, if you know a group comes and says we're having this fundraiser that night, it's probably true. But a lot of times information needs to sort of be vetted. You know, it needs to, you need someone to think it through and think, well, now am I really hearing this right? Or is there another side to the question? Do you have any sense of how this might operate in the end? I mean, is it looking like, and again, subject to change and it's early and so on, but is it looking like you'll have sort of an organization that is managing information? By managing, I don't mean telling people what to think or anything like that, but just simply, you know, part of it's just organizational, you know, here's where you submit your item, here's where we can take a photo, here's the format we need it in. But then also you have an editor who goes in and says, you know, I think you've got the wrong address on that. I don't think, you know, Third Street doesn't go there. Or you've got the spelling wrong. Or sometimes you do something that requires a more sophisticated knowledge of the market rather than someone who might very quite earnestly but still be getting things wrong or maybe trying to service their own agenda as opposed to simply inform the public. So there's a need there. I say this as a journalist, I think, for someone, some sort of an organizing hub. But I don't want to put words in your mouth. I mean, do you have any sense of how this, when all is said and done, I mean, is there going to be like an office somewhere or something that might sort of be a central location where information comes in, goes out, people manage things, edit things?
Big, complicated question, Bill.
But I think, honestly, in the end, that's what a lot of people are going to want to know is, what might produce out of this that's actually useful and visible and accessible and reliable and persistent?
Yeah, well, here's a couple of thoughts to get at that question. When I started thinking about this, it was right about the time that there was a massive amount of funding for the reinvention of local news and information announced. And some of that money has been allocated, and there's still some of it available through groups like Press Forward and the Democracy Fund. And this was kind of very big scale, large scale philanthropic giving. And it isn't that the philanthropy hasn't given big money to local news before, but in the past, it was geared at let's try to save local newspapers. This funding is very different. It's let's pivot to something that is intentionally more equitable and more community focused. Okay, so I've developed this project knowing that if we do a really good process, as we are just launching now, it's a very different thing for me to go to these big funders and say, we are this great little award-winning community media center in Davis, and you should really fund us to do this. Here's our idea. It's an entirely different matter to go and say, we've worked with impact architects, we've worked with nationally known engaged journalist and Davis resident Jessica Maria Ross, and we've worked with a working group, we've talked to people all around the county. Here's the data, here's the report, here's what we learned, and here's where we think we can go with that. And so my point there is that it's going to take some very big funding from people that Davis Media Access has not had access to, there's that word again, access, but in the past, and positioning us in a whole new light, armed with a whole lot of information. And so that funding, yes, I think there is going to have to be some kind of editorial staff, editorial oversight. I'm not in a position to say that's a managing editor or what that looks like right now. I do think the working group model will, this is the initial working group for the assessment phase. I do think there will be another working group down the road to help develop the project. It's very much what we did when we started KDRT 20 years ago. It all began with a working group. And so it's very on brand for us. As to location and space, I want to be really clear that YOLO Local is a project of Davis Media Access. And I think it also represents our future. Our past was rooted in cable and public access. We have been evolving and strategically positioning ourselves for years to be much more than that. It started with bringing community radio in with KDRT. And I think in many senses, YOLO Local is our future, whatever it becomes.
We're near the end. Just a couple of questions to go. The survey that's going on, is that something anybody can take if they want to?
Yes. It's being beta tested this weekend, and we'll be ready to release that soon. We're going to do that in a number of ways. We have a lot of community partners in the nonprofit sphere and elsewhere. We're going to ask them to share it, and there'll be links made publicly available all over the place. People are invited to take it. There'll be a survey incentive of some Nugget gift cards for participation if desired. And yeah, and then we'll be out tabling and also putting together some focus groups and listening sessions.
So be visible. And then Davis Media Access has a web page as well about mm-hmm. YOLO Local.
Yeah. Two things. Davismedia.org is our main website. And there's a link in the About section, YOLO Local, that has kind of what we've done to date. And we will put survey and other information there. We're also going to be putting together a very short, brief, and probably infrequent YOLO Local newsletter. And so you can email yololocal@davismedia.org and just say, hey, add me to the newsletter. And sometime after the big day of giving, because that's coming up, sometime after the big day of giving, we will put that together.
Okay. So the next step is this gets done, and I think I've heard you say this fall, you think you'll have the results of the survey?
Yeah. We should be done with the information gathering sometime in July, and the release of the report is tentatively scheduled for mid-September.
Okay. Well, Autumn, thank you for talking about this.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
So I'm Bill Buchanan. We've been talking with Autumn Labbe-Renault. She's the Executive Director of Davis Media Access, and we're talking about YOLO Local. And this is this effort to create a new form, new source of local information and news. Again, I'm Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville, 95.7 FM, Davis, California, KDRT.org online. Thank you for listening.